Hail Cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League Podcast. My name is Josh, I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, happy Easter to you, and how are you? That's very long,
oh,
it's a mouthful.
I am great. I love wishing everyone a happy holiday, so let's also wish a happy Passover to all of our Jewish listeners.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. It's April 21st. That's my brother's birthday. So happy birthday to my brother out there, Eric, if you're listening, which you definitely aren't. Brandon, we are in the middle of game week 35 right now. And so it's kind of a funny podcast. You know, I think most people listening to the podcast will, even if you haven't played exactly the same style that we have the last few weeks and set yourself up for the double game weeks, I mean, almost everybody has some people still playing, right? So we're just going to, you know, we're going to acknowledge that. We're going to focus more on game week 36 and maybe game week 36 through 38. There's only 3 weeks left in the season. We're going to look ahead to those game weeks with an emphasis on 36 and the triple captaincy. I think we'll also probably end up talking about Liverpool a fair amount, because what you do with Liverpool, I think, is really can really define a lot of seasons and a lot of mini leagues, right? If you're, you know, 20 points ahead or 20 points behind, what you do with Liverpool can absolutely define how you finish the season. Is that too strong?
No pressure, Josh. What?
It's true though, right? Is that not true?
Well, I think given the way all the assets, the attacking assets especially, are priced, you're going to have to cut either the Manchester City or the Liverpool baby in half.
Right.
Or you cut both of them in half. I don't know.
So, I prefer cut the bicycle in half, the Seinfeld version of that story.
Great. Yes, let's go with that. That's a less sort of grotesque metaphor. Yeah. Or image. Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's down to Manchester City and Liverpool for both the league title and our FPL seasons at this point. I mean, you could look to, you know, game weeks 37 and 38 where other teams like Manchester United might play into it, but that will probably just be the icing on your FPL cake.
You know, one thing I do like
I'm using so many metaphors here.
I know,
today
I'm trying
on
to follow
fire.
It. Yeah, you're an English major in college, and it's coming through. I think what I like about this particular season going into game week 36 to 38 is in most seasons, I bet if you look back, it's true in, like, I don't know, seven of the last eight seasons, there has been a double game week in game week 37 that feels like that is frequently the 36 or 37. I feel like there's almost always a very, very late double game week. It's often kind of a trap double because it's so close to the end of the season. All teams are on the beach. So this season, it's just we've got 3 weeks left and there's no tricks, right? It's just 3 weeks with 10 fixtures. Now, it's not easy because you have Liverpool and Spurs who are still, you know, playing for the Champions League, but it is pretty, like, straightforward in terms of, like, there's, you know, you're not trying to hold on for a double. It's just like, you know, almost everyone's wild carded already. So it's just like straight one transfer or taking hits or just doing, like, very standard kind of fantasy moves, which I really like. I think that's, like, it's like a clean way to end the season.
And even with Spurs and Liverpool, luckily, it's those two teams who have just, from an FPL point of view, have moved through in the Champions League because they have rather thin squads as compared to Manchester City. So the rotation headaches that we'd be hitting up against if Manchester City had gone through to the semifinals,
right?
I think the lineups are going to be quite a lot more predictable with Spurs and Liverpool.
Yeah, I think they will. Although I guess we're still sweating. There were a few questions about KDB. We'll talk about him a little bit, but obviously it's a hard question to answer because we just don't know anything right now. We know he's not going to play in the Manchester Derby, but that wouldn't matter anyway for any fantasy manager, right? Because obviously the die is already cast. Yeah, on this game week. So let's talk a little bit about this game week, just where we are right now. I'll do a quick score check here. Both of us bench boosted this week. So how are you feeling about your team so far?
I'm okay with my team right now. I'm on 63 points with the bench boost. I went ahead and captained Raul Jimenez. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not really worked out for me just yet. Not that any captaincies have really come through.
Nope.
I am heavily invested in Liverpool and not Manchester City right now, coming off of my wild card. Mo Salah is my big differential in the midfield. And that card, I really needed something to happen and magical in that Cardiff match. I needed Salah to really perform and get a huge points tally, because I think a lot of people are going to be moving on to Liverpool going into 36 with that home Huddersfield match. Mm-hmm. So if Liverpool was really going to be a differential for me. It would have had to have been in game week 35.
You had this one week where his ownership wasn't super high, and now everyone's going to rush to bring him in, or him or Mane, I guess, you know.
Yeah. Whichever you can afford. And I don't know, you can't quite say the same thing for my other differential pick, which was Lacazette, who, you know, I've taken Lacazette in favor instead of Aguero. Mm-hmm. And Lacazette, just an assist for him. He still has Wolves midweek. But I needed him as well to have a big haul for me to have a huge rank jump. I was really pleased this morning when I saw the Arsenal starting lineup. Mm-hmm. Really sweating that Kolasinac. Would he start? Would he not start?
Yep.
Because it's like a 50-50 chance with him these days. So the fact that he did start is feeling great. He had some really excellent chances. You know, he could have gotten a handball call on Aaron Wan-Bissaka for a penalty. Hmm. He had that shot, that volley that Lucas Digne actually hit against De Gea and scored. Kolasinac replicated that to a T, but he just couldn't get it past Guaita. So he comes away with 1 point. So that's another differential that hasn't come through.
It's such a such a different Sunday for you. You know, I had almost everyone on my team played yesterday. I had one player in all of today's matches, which is Robertson. So I was just dreading today's matches. I did I didn't even want to watch them because I was so anxious. It was just like nothing good could come out of it unless like Robertson scored. I tried to wish it into existence by tweeting that today was the day. Did not happen. But I mean, I got the clean sheet, which is good. But but you know, about the best. I mean, I want you to keep talking about your game week, but I was just, you know, as someone who didn't have a lot of players in today, it was about the best possible result, right? I mean, getting, you know, a total of 9 points, you know, blank from Mane, only 6 points from Salah. You know, Robertson got 11, but that's like, I can handle that. His ownership is not so high. Obviously, you know, Pogba, I think, is only like 25% of the top 10K. So him blanking was helpful as well. You know, Everton didn't really matter that much. And then, Arsenal, like 5 from Lacazette, 1 from Kolasinac, 6 from, I guess maybe it was 7 from Aubameyang. All acceptable, like, you know, just not going to be that swingy in terms of, you know, game week rank and all that, and, you know, overall rank. So, but I think you are now cracking. You are like on the cusp of the top 10K, right?
Yeah, very close to the top 10K. My live rank right now with auto subs, not that that matters on my bench boost, but it's 11,677. Okay. So, you know, if I get a few more attacking returns and clean sheets, I'm looking at you, Shane Duffy. Miracle man, the phoenix rising from the ashes. Yeah, if I get any more returns, it looks like I'm going to be in the top 10K by the time game week 35 is over. So I'm feeling great about that.
You got what, like 12 players left to play, something like that?
Yeah, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, exactly. I mean, De Bruyne is not going to show up for the Manchester Derby as previously stated, but
but you can at least pretend, right? that might happen. Right.
You're having a great week, and you continue to rise, even though it didn't seem possible that Josh's team could rise any farther up the FPL overall rank, but there you are. How's it going?
Yeah, FPL Chancellor said, I only have one question. Josh's rank says, how excited are you on a scale of 1 to WTF? I am definitely at the WTF level. I've gone full Marc Maron over here.
I assumed that Dan was actually directing that question at me, and I'm a solid 3, Dan, to answer your question.
Yeah, how excited is Brandon about my overall rank? Probably more like 1 or 0.
I love you, Josh. I'm happy.
I know. You're like at a 2. I know. It's good for the pot at least. I was at 332 overall. So, by far the highest I've ever been. I mean, I've had 2 top 2,500 finishes in the past, but I've never, I've had a bad couple of seasons. I mean, not just our mediocre couple of seasons going into this year. So, feels like things have really clicked this year. You know, as I mentioned before, I had basically nobody to play today. And so I did fall back a little bit. It looks like I'm at 504 overall. So, you know, just right outside the top 500. And I have 13 players left to play, including my captain and Sterling and my boy, Jerry Deulofeu.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I'm on 67 points right now with 13 left. Presumably Lloris plays. It sounds like he will. So it was kind of a weird game week. I mean, you know, it was a – The morning was terrible yesterday morning. I mean, I got nothing from, you know, I got one from De Bruyne. Sterling was like playing to try to get a red card or something. He was so hot. I couldn't believe it took him that long to get a yellow. It was like he flirted with the yellow the last 20 minutes of that game. Like he was clearly exhausted. And I still think he starts at midweek. I mean, I think the match is so big. You just play your best 11 and he's clearly part of that. But, you know, had a golden chance. I mean, Gazinga like kept. It was actually an impressive performance from Spurs. I mean, they really did a nice job. And I was thinking about it this morning and how I would actually be really frustrated if I was a Sun owner. I mean, that guy had at least, what, two chances where he should have scored in that match. I think it was maybe one on either one like maybe early in the first half and maybe one early in the second half. I can't remember exactly when they came, but I felt like he was like basically down, like just bearing down on Ederson two different times.
Yeah.
And it didn't convert. So
I watched these interactions from a true crude FPL point of view where I have Laporte in my defense and I'm like, well, the odds of Son scoring more than one goal in this game, I'm trading a Son goal for a Laporte clean sheet. Now it's probably a net gain for Son to score against Laporte for my FPL team. It's one more point for a goal, possibly a bonus.
Yeah.
But I think for your Spurs assets, even to be in your situation with Lloris not even getting a minute,
yeah,
everyone is looking to this Brighton home match midweek, and that's really why we got Spurs players in on our wild card for the double.
Right.
So it's sort of like, fine, Sun blanks, okay, let's go to Brighton.
Yeah, well, Sun blanks, but then, you know, 1 point from De Bruyne, 2 points from Sterling, no Lloris. It looked like it was going to be like a really bad game week for me. Yeah, and then, as you mentioned, then Brighton – then Brighton Wolves happens, and also Jamie Vardy, hold on to Vardy, which you did as well, was crucial. And I was feeling a little down out of that first match, and then Delafay starting was amazing, and then him scoring what like 3 minutes into that Watford game, and it was like all the air got let out. You know, I was like, all right, well, this like it's not going to be a disaster. You know, it's like I already got it. You just want to bank a goal or something. You know, you just want to bank something good for your team. Mm-hmm. And then that Brighton Wolves game was just the classic like troll game from Brighton. I mean, I actually don't know what the XG is for Wolves for this patch. I mean, it has to be what like three or something. Like it's got to be pretty high, right?
Add a couple of zeros after that three. I think it was 300.
I mean,
and I went Jota over De La Feu, so right, you know we're two sides of that budget midfielder coin, and I'm watching the goal rush and I'm getting snippets of De La Feu doing his De La Feu thing. You had tweeted that he's the guy who only scores cheeky goals.
Right. That first goal was ridiculous.
It truly was. But and Jota was really shining in the Brighton match. Jimenez was very peripheral in the first half, especially.
Yeah.
Jota had so many chances.
Yeah.
It just wasn't going to happen for him. It was frustrating to watch, for sure.
Yeah, it was just horribly unlucky. I mean, I suppose Brighton defended reasonably well, although I wouldn't say that it was – to me, it was more about missed chances than it was brilliant. I mean, I think in another day – that's an easy 3-0 Wolves win or something like that. You know, I mean, Brighton just have no attack. Like, how is a team like it feels like an experiment to see if you can stay up in the Premier League without a single attacking midfielder. It's like, how do they? It's like they have five central midfielders or something. It's like they just play or like what? I don't know. It's so weird.
They have so little attack that it's even Pascal Gross making slide tackles in his own penalty box. When your creative midfielder is making tackles in your penalty box, something has gone terribly wrong.
Yeah, and maybe it's a different season for them if he hadn't been, you know, out of the squad so much. But I mean, their attack is basically to win to get set piece goals, right? It's like that's the whole attack. Like a Glenn Murray penalty. You know, it's like it's just such a weird. Anyway, so but yeah, it was great to I did bench boost despite the worry about having those two players. I know a lot of people didn't, and I can understand that because, you know, if you look at it in the face, having, you know, two Brighton defenders for Wolves and Spurs away is terrible. But my thinking was I thought I could get 3 points each out of them, you know, and so I was like, if I could just get a total of 6 points, then it'll be worth it because then I'll get my Hugo Lloris points, I'll get my Ward-Prowse points, you know. And so I'm on one from Ward-Prowse and zero from Lloris at the moment, but I did get the 12 from those two, so it's worked out. So, you know, I don't know, what are you gonna say? Sometimes you just get lucky, and I think a lot of us, at least it was like luck spread across the board. I think a lot of us ended up having to play Brighton players because we just didn't want to take anyone out for a hit. There weren't a lot of great options. I mean, you had like, basically there was the Watford defense, and that was, I actually wasn't watching the end of that match. So I didn't see the goal conceded. I was watching the end of the West Ham match because it was so good. Mm-hmm. And then I saw later that they conceded a goal in like the 93rd minute from Grant. So
yeah, it seemed like a Manchester City-esque goal to concede in that it's a goal that Manchester City themselves would concede, happening late in the game, seemingly out of sheer boredom.
Right.
Huddersfield were just throwing a lot of guys forward, and they outnumbered the Watford defense for whatever, because Watford probably stopped running at a certain point. Mm-hmm. And it's a dinked cross ball that's Grant just put into the net. There was no way that Ben Foster could have stopped it, as far as I could tell.
Yeah. I thought he might be on three saves. I thought he had I guess he just only had two in the match, but anyway, so I think both of us are having a really good game week so far. Not everyone is though, Brandon. Rants of the week, Eric Freeman, who is he's a pastor, Brandon, and it's a big day for him. So I like that he was able to take time away on Easter Sunday to send a cheeky tweet to us about.
Truly, this is the true Lord's work here from Eric. Yeah, I'll read his rant here. He says, okay. "I've been in a relationship with Ryan and Duffy for a couple of months, and it's going great. But now they're kind of flaky. One week they don't even show up to either of our two dates. This week they're all like, quote, please don't break up with us, Eric. See, we got you all these points. I know y'all aren't a relationship advice podcast, but maybe you could make an exception. Do I give them another chance or break up with them? Break up with these losers." So I guess the question here is, can we bench Brighton assets for the rest of the season, or is this the problem that needs to be solved? I'm on Matt Ryan and Shane Duffy. So the luxury of having a Brighton goalkeeper is I can just bench Ryan for the rest of the season, no problem. And right. then I kind of maybe right. have to think about starting Shane Duffy in one of the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, this is really the dilemma that I, I mean, the issue is you only have three transfers left on the season. Right. And like, unless you burn four, which you don't really want to burn four. If you can avoid it in a non-double game week situation in particular, you know, so game week 36, it's fine. My goal right now is to, in my bus team, I've got Duffy starting, and then I've got Dunk on the bench. So I'm splitting the difference a little bit. I don't quite have like the stomach to go double Brighton defense so soon after after game week 34.
Well, it's 36 or nothing with these guys because they're home Newcastle, and then after that it's Arsenal and Manchester City. You wouldn't like them to get any points against either of those teams.
No, although who knows with Arsenal, right? I mean, I guess Duffy could get like a hat trick of goals in that match.
Like, Mustafi is the story of this Sunday. What a pitiful performance from Mustafi. Like, truly, Gary Neville can talk down to Manchester United players as much as he wants. But if there was a worse performance this weekend than Schroden Mustafi, I don't know.
It just shows you just don't know like what you're ever buying in the transfer market. I mean, this guy was like a starter on the German national team when we brought him in. You know, it was like it was a great buy. Like, everyone thought that was a great buy, you know, and it just, you know, just has not worked. So, all right, we got one more rant here, Brandon. I felt myself on the verge of going like a very long Arsenal, like
Arsene Wenger
rant.
Stop and think about it.
Cut myself off. Kun Karam says, why on earth has, this is another rant. Kun Karam says, why on earth has Huddersfield bothered to wipe out my double Watford clean sheet? I need answers from Grant. Brandon, I don't know what to say. I thought that Watford was if I was going to advocate for any Brighton transfer out, I certainly would have advocated for a Watford transfer, right?
Yeah. Likewise. I think that's just FPL for you, Kuhn. That is the world in which we live. I mean, then you also have to stop and have a bit of a reality check. I mean, Yes, the reality is Huddersfield are, bar none, the worst team in the division right now. But
right.
Watford, they have not proved to be a defensive powerhouse in, like, the last three seasons. So, honestly, honest to goodness, it was a good bet for FPL. But also, honest to goodness, it was never going to be a lock for Watford to keep this clean sheet.
Yeah.
Is that too real for you, Josh?
It's like some vocal pop there as I just like sighed right into the microphone. It's true. I don't trust Watford. That's why I couldn't have two of them. I was just like, I just don't trust. But I love my boy Jerry D, Brandon. You know I love having him in my squad.
You've always loved him. You've said, you've shouted it so many times on this podcast. We talked about calling it the De La Feu cast for so long because you can't stop talking about him.
By the way, a quick shout out to Jamie Vardy, the classic great single game week player in a double game week, right? Where he just like, picks up the nine. And 35 and 16 and 33 too. So the guy is suddenly on 16 goals and 5 assists on the season, by the way. It is a spectacular season. He's probably going to finish on 20 goals, right? I mean, he's got a shot at it at least. I think they have kind of a tough end of the season. Actually, it's more than kind of. They play Arsenal, City, and Chelsea in the final three. But, he's home for two of those. He might get close. I'm probably still going to drop him. But if I end up having him for this Arsenal match, that's kind of fine. Like, I don't really feel like, I wouldn't feel, I mean, honestly, after today's, like, after this weekend, like, I don't know. If I doubled up on Liverpool defense and just brought in, like, Mane and just kept Vardy, I think that would be kind of acceptable. I was kind of in Firmino, but Firmino's like a little, I don't know. We're going to talk more about Liverpool in a minute. So let's table that. I'm sorry I introduced that.
I just wanted to say real quick on Vardy. We came up with this term, the Giroud. I think it was last season or the season before, where a striker comes away with a five-pointer. Either they come on as a 70-minute sub and get a goal and no bonus, or they start and just get an assist. So a Giroud is a five-pointer. I think a classic Vardy is a nine-pointer because these special striker assets where they're able to just score a cheeky goal and walk away with all 3 points, even though their team had three bonus points, even though their team haven't even won.
Yeah. A very good goal, by the way, too. A really well taken goal.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right, Brandon. So let's get into the topic. First, I just want to do a quick shout out, a quick thank you to we have several new patrons this week. It's been a great month for Patreon. And thank you to everyone who supports the podcast at Patreon. A sincere thank you.
Thank you.
Really, the podcast, we do it for love, but it's nice to... For the love of money, exactly. We would have stopped this long ago. But Patreon actually is the kind of, like, you know, it's because of Patreon that it really helps motivate us and keep doing this week in and week out. So thank you to everybody. Just a quick thank you to our new Empecani patrons, Jamie, Thomas Jack, Eric Lunt, Matt Ruth, Joe B., and Danny. A lot of first names this time around, Brandon.
I think you can tell that people are feeling very competitive in their mini leagues, that they're not willing to give their full name and their Patreon memberships. So they're not outed in their various cash leagues.
Exactly. I think we've got a couple of our producers actually are fake names as well. So if you'd like to support what we do and get access to our Slack and bonus channels, I'll be doing a Patreon exclusive pod later this week. And I think, you know, Brandon, I was just thinking about today. I think we're going to roll out some Patreon, like after the season's over. I think we have a couple Patreon things that we're going to do that aren't specific to the season, but that we've talked about doing for a while. There's one in FPL draft that we want to do.
That's one of the benefits of becoming an always cheating producer through the Patreon is that you get to tell us an idea for a Patreon exclusive episode of the pod that we put on our supporters podcast feeds. Yeah, we're going to get to a lot of those ideas once we close out the season.
Yep, exactly. And just a note, I don't think we mentioned this in last week's podcast, but June is going to be a free month for all Patreon supporters. So we're taking the month off. And so we're just going to make that free for everybody. No one's going to get charged for that month. So just throwing that out there in case anybody was curious or concerned about that. So patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can support the pod.
Great. Let's take a quick break, Josh. Come back and talk about what questions we might have for Game Week 36 coming up.
All right, Brian, we're back. We're going to jump right into game week 36. We've got a couple questions here. I feel like they're kind of two different kinds of questions about game week 36. And one is what to do with this kind of midfield Liverpool problem. A lot of us don't have three Liverpool players right now, mostly because they didn't have double game weeks. We wanted to, you know, load up on those players. Now they play Huddersfield at home. And mm-hmm. And it seems like Klopp is playing his strongest sides right now. He had some press conference last week where he was like, well, we don't even really practice anymore. You know, there's so many matches that we just rest and then we play. So it's not like everyone's like exhausted, you know, like you just play once and then you don't play for several days and then you jump. And so I thought that was sort of interesting.
That point about how Klopp's approaching the run-in is, I think I heard them talk about this on Second Captains, where he gave an interview where he specifically said, well, we have seven more games to play throughout the rest of the season, which implies that he is not expecting to get to the Champions League final, which you could then infer. I mean, close your ears, Liverpool fans, but he's not really going to try to push through to the Champions League final and focus on winning the league.
What are you going to do though? I mean, for one thing, like a lot of it depends on what happens at midweek, right? I mean, if Man City beat, that's actually a great way to start this off, which is that I'm not making any decisions about my team until the midweek matches are done, right? Because I mean, for one thing, I'm hoping we have more information about KDB as the week goes on. But also, I mean, I think what happened in the Man City match could affect things too, because if Man City win that match and they have three fairly easy fixtures after that, then Liverpool's best chance of a trophy this year might actually be the Champions League instead of the Premier League, right? If they just win out in the Premier League, that's not enough, right? They need Man City to draw one match. So, I just don't think you can not put out your strongest possible side for Barcelona and the Champions League semifinals. I mean, that's like as big as it gets, right? That's like the biggest stage in the world. It's
Origi's having a great season, Josh. I'll just say that.
It was weird that he started that. It's weird that it worked. Like that you just put Origi in, you know, and it was fine. I don't know. Yeah. It was it would have been great if Salah or Mane had been rested for that game, right? Just to like clarify things a little bit for 36. I mean, to me, the elephant in the room is, I don't know if it's the elephant in the room, but like the unanswered question is, do any of these players, probably not Firmino now because he just got rested, but do Mane or Salah get rested for the easiest fixture of the season ahead of a Champions League semifinal with Barcelona? I don't think you can just dismiss it out of hand, right? It's a humongous match. You know, I think it's like Tuesday of next week. This match is on Friday, but they did just play on Sunday, but they played, you know, what, three times in 8 days or whatever. They could roll out the entire B team, right? It could be Shaqiri and Origi and Sturridge and whoever, that guy we were talking about last week on the podcast with the pencil thin mustache. You could roll out all of those guys. Hammerhead. I mean, you probably, I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Gomez played in this game, right? Like even Van Dijk could get a rest. It is entirely possible that the full starting 11 plays.
There will be arguments that pop up through the end of this week where Liverpool are behind Manchester City on goal difference by 6 goals. And if you think it's going to come down to the final day and maybe Manchester City end up drawing one of these matches and it comes down to goal difference, then is that a priority that they could look to exploit against a team like Huddersfield?
Right. That's not relevant, I don't think, though, because if Man City draw, then Liverpool will just be 1 point ahead. So if, like, let's say the Man City draw against Manchester United at midweek, then they're on 87 points and Liverpool are on 88.
Right. So I guess if Liverpool draw and Manchester City lose, let me get my It's Always Sunny homeland meme going here. Then you're looking at tied on points at the end of the season.
Okay. That's true. There is a scenario where it can happen, but I think I don't know why it's so hard for me to imagine Man City. Maybe it's because I just saw Man United get obliterated by Everton, 6 hours before or whatever. Yeah. So it's harder for me to.
That is a definite not great Bob result there for Manchester United.
Yeah, exactly. So it's hard to see that match, and it was a pretty strong United squad that rolled out there. I mean, unless Luke Shaw is just vastly more underrated than we thought he was. You know, it was a pretty strong team that rolled out there, and they really got rolled over. Now, we have seen in the past, I mean, just last season, right, was the Pogba brace, the big 2-1 win. Pogba does show up for big games, or he can, at least capable of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it doesn't really matter what we think, but like, do you think there's any chance that Man United win on Wednesday?
If there is a chance, it feels very slim. I mean, the Manchester City have lost 6 out of the last 8 games. They haven't been on a run like this since the 80s, I think it was.
Yeah.
You'd like to try to figure out what sort of narrative might favor a Manchester United result, but I think... Yeah, the stats and the results through the season are just so starkly in favor of Manchester City. I can't see it happening. For me, it's talking about Liverpool possible rotation for the Huddersfield match. For me, I'm very curious to see what kind of side Pep rolls out for the Manchester Derby. You'd think because it's such a hotly contested match, and of course City need a result, that he would continue with the strongest side, but he has just been running his top starting 11 into the ground of late.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, when they rolled out that side for the Saturday morning match, and then I saw that it was Spurs backup keeper, I was like, oh my God, this could be like a 7-0, right? And they scored 5 minutes in, and then that was it. That was the only goal. It was a Phil Foden goal. What a classic fantasy moment that was.
We'll never forget it.
Yeah, I don't really know either, but I think it's got to be the strongest possible team, minus De Bruyne, almost certainly. So let's get to a couple questions. Nick Wright says Eriksen to Mane for a -4. He says, is that worth it or not this week? He says, for wider context, Mane in, captain, Mane not in, Son equals captain. I don't know why I said the equals out loud there. In an even wider context, which non-Liverpool premium mids are worth shifting for Mane or Salah for a -4? Now, we don't usually answer questions this specific on the podcast, but I think it's actually really relevant for a lot of people, right? A lot of people are in this position right now. I know that I am as well, where, you know, the easiest thing for me to do would be to shift one of my really expensive midfielders over to Mane or Salah and have some kind of coverage for this match. And so would you, but the thing is, if you're moving Eriksen, who, you know, it's an excellent fixture, right? They play West Ham at home. Like it takes some guts to move a Spurs player before West Ham at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, West Ham haven't looked as diabolical the last few weeks as they had, say, 1 or 2 months ago, but I take your point. Spurs certainly on paper, a much better side than West Ham, and you have to favor them heavily at home. I think the options are really slim in terms of who's the like-for-like swap in your FPL team for a Liverpool midfielder. I think maybe Kevin De Bruyne's injury is a blessing in disguise for a lot of Game Week 36 managers. And that's just an easy swap. Because for me, with no Manchester City midfield coverage apart from De Bruyne, you know, I'm just sort of looking at Raheem Sterling and thinking I can only get away with this for so long. And, you know, my expectation is that I drop my Liverpool midfielders for Manchester City midfielders after the Huddersfield match in Game Week 36. So just looking at Game Week 36 in particular, you're kind of tied to either moving your Spurs or your Manchester City assets to get somebody from Liverpool in, or you're burning -4. So who else is in that area where you could actually do a -4 and still afford to get a 9.5 plus million midfielder into your team? Maybe it's Paul Pogba.
All right, let's do like a little game here just to clarify things a little bit, because I feel like this is going to get we're looking at spreadsheets and stuff you know, as we talk about this, but I think if you're just listening, it's kind of hard to follow the whole train of logic here. So why don't we try to rank the midfielders for this game week, for game week 36, like just like 1 to, until we get bored, right? I don't know, 1 to 5 or 6 or something like that. All right. So, So I think the 1 and 2 are Mane and Salah in a particular order. Now, do you prefer, which one do you prefer of those two? I mean, having just watched them play today, do you lean one way or the other? Just removing your own team from the conversation.
Yes, I think Mane looks very appealing for many reasons. He's in form. He is playing very centrally. And that was my big takeaway from the Cardiff match, was that a lot of the moves went right through Mane, who was sitting at the top of the box. And mm-hmm. he was distributing to the wings or trying to play people through, or he's on the end of various crosses coming into the box. It just feels like he is the most assured route to attacking points for your FPL side. Salah is, yep. of course, very explosive, but the price point per what you're expecting to get in return, it's at best the same as Mane. Now, I'm leaning, yep. I have Salah myself because I feel like it's really the only differential I'm grasping at the moment. So that would be the case I would make for Salah, is that's the differential pick.
I think that's, I agree with that completely. So it's one and one A, and the 3 million price difference is the tiebreaker.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Which I think, you know, price does have to be a factor here, even if we're just trying to rank these various assets. So, all right. So after that, who's third?
Yeah, I think it is, as Nick points to, it's Heung-Min Son, who is captainable mm-hmm. at home against West Ham. Eriksen, there was a lot of discussion about Eriksen's value with Kane out when mm-hmm. we were all on our wild card. And I think the conversation veers toward Eriksen was looking really great and in form right before Kane went out with his ankle injury, and now less so. I think that I really only need room in my side for Son.
What about Raheem Sterling? Sterling doesn't jump over Son or Eriksen? I think I would, now that we're third, I would put Son, and then I think fourth, I would put Sterling. I think Sterling is like right there with right there with Son. I mean, just they play away to Burnley, which I think is fine for Man City. I mean, Burnley have been better certainly of late, but I would expect Man City to win that game pretty handily. Mm-hmm. And it's probably just a tough enough fixture that you have to play Sterling for it.
Yeah, you have to really like Sterling. I mean, as you've been saying the last few weeks, fixtures just simply do not matter with Manchester City. And they certainly don't matter if you're looking at Burnley. Now, Burnley will probably have all 11 players behind the ball inside of the goal mouth.
Right.
Five outfield players on each post just to make sure Sterling doesn't tap the ball in. But you'd still have to like Sterling for some kind of attacking return if he gets a start in that match.
All right. And then so that's I think that's now six players we've talked about. I think my boy Jerry D has got to get up there at some point, right?
Oh, please.
Delafeu home to Wolves in great form. I mean, he's got to be in the form of his life right now, right? Like, it's, I don't know. He's remarkable. But I do think, okay, how about this though? If you don't have Delafeu in your squad and you're trying to figure out how to fit in a Salah or a Mane, then like a midfield move, you know, where you upgrade somebody, maybe it's KDB and you need like a make weight.
Yeah.
I think that Jerry D is a very tempting option.
Definitely. I like Deulofeu. Also, you could point toward as a make weight Leicester City midfielders and Tielemans and Madison and Harvey Barnes, yeah. their home Arsenal. Arsenal's defense is absolute rubbish, especially on the road. So I think that's going to be an interesting match on Sunday.
Okay. Do we want to go any further? Do we want to rank any more players? I think Gylfi Sigurdsson played very well today. He's a tempting option for the final couple game weeks of the season.
The last thing I'll say is that Anthony Martial is that's over. It's done.
It is. Although, okay, yes, I agree with that. But man, Huddersfield and Cardiff are the final two fixtures for Manchester United, and it is very tempting to have a Man United player for game week 37 and 38.
Yeah, that's got to be Pogba. Pogba seems like the type of player that's like, okay, you're going to put a punching bag in front of me, I'm going to punch it to death. And
yeah, so true. Yeah.
But
so
watching true. Tony yeah. Martial play against Everton, it was, wow. If he was my son, I would just be yelling like, get him out of there.
it's not his day. Okay. So I think that that's like 10 midfielders that we talked about. Okay, let's move on. Next question is from FPL Classico. He says, I was set to captain Mane, but I'm slightly concerned. I may play limited minutes. While Son is banned for the first leg versus Ajax, He says, what do you think? So I'm just going to go with our rank, with our very elaborate ranking system here, Brandon.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that we have ranked Mane higher, thus go with Mane over Son.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you.
We should probably get this
one
published in some reputable journal or something, right? Like this is valuable stuff.
I want it published somewhere where it can never be erased and that people can come back and point to all of our poor recommendations when it doesn't go their way.
That's true. We can put it in Granta. I don't know when the next issue of that's coming out.
I'm an N+1 guy myself, but that's fine.
Sure.
My issue, I would actually enjoy captaining Liverpool midfielders like Mane or Salah more if I didn't know that they'd almost definitely come in as substitutes later in the match if they don't start.
Yeah,
we've seen this with both of them, and notably Salah was able to come on as a substitute last season and put teams to the sword and score goals. So maybe that's still a good thing. But the form that Liverpool is in right now, it really worries me. You know, their goal output, if they're really trying to shore up games 1-0, 2-0. The rotation is my only concern, but. We had that great conversation with Peter Blake early last season before Raheem Sterling went on his first initial Manchester City run, where the discussion is you just can't afford to play that cautiously in FPL. You just have to armband the best player. You let the rotation fall where it may.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, yeah. It's just as true with Man City, even if they still have nothing to play for. And people are like, yeah, well, what do they have to rotate for? But it's about rest, too. I mean, it's like you just can't play a massive match every 3 days, right? I mean, you can, and your players will get more and more jaded. I mean, they'll start to look like Raheem Sterling at the end of that match,
exactly,
right? Where they're just kicking everybody, just like they're just done, right?
And I mean, so you'd be sick of the sight of Jan Vertonghen, too, if you were him.
Yeah, I would. Oh, they played him so well. I was really impressed with the Spurs. I don't know why the Spurs defense has been better this season based on how they just played in that Man City match.
You just need Gazzaniga in goal and everything's okay. They have a little more faith than the guy standing behind them.
Yeah. Just one more thing as we're talking about midfielders here. You know, we mentioned Pogba a minute ago. I don't really want him for game week 36. You know, he plays home to Chelsea. I think it's fine to have him for that, you know, but it's not like something I'm like eager to do. I'd really like to have him for those final two fixtures. And I also want to have multiple Liverpool players and I want to have multiple Man City players, and it's very hard to have all of them. So I think that, you know, I think these last couple weeks of the season are a time when you can really start to like tinker with your formation a little bit and how you play. And I'm typically a 3-defender, 4-midfielder, 3-forward kind of person in fantasy, but I don't mind messing around. Yeah. The classic. I think over the long term, that's the formation that yields the most points. I know that there are people who feel differently, but that's how I've always played. But I think, you know, when you look at this season, like a 2 or 3 game week window, then it really does augur for messing up with your formations a little bit. And I'm really thinking about a 3-5-2 for the final 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm talking about that right now is because the transfers you make in game week 36 could really have an impact on those 37 formation.
I think in that case with the 3-5-2, we'll really benefit from poor old Harry Kane being out for the season because there are fewer decisions that we have to make up front. You have to like the looks of Sergio Aguero for the run-in, going for the golden boot. And so it's like Aguero, and who are you going to pair with him and then just go for gold in your midfield?
That leads us right into the second main topic of today, which is the triple captain. A lot of people still have a triple captain to play. It's the last chip that many people have, and that goes for both of us. Now, I have an opening question for you here, Brandon, which is there any difference between a player you'd captain and a player you'd triple captain? Right. So is the thinking that goes into it any different? Obviously, you pick a captain, you know, in a game where you think they're really going to go off. But, you know, is someone captain worthy but not triple captain worthy?
So taking this specific season off of the table, the answer is yes. If they have a double game week, that's your opportunity to triple captain.
Sure.
So that's kind of what makes this triple captain issue this season, if you haven't already played it. And that was the logic that everyone applied to Leroy Sané at the midpoint of the season. That didn't go according to plan. But
Let me rephrase the question then. Looking at the last 3 weeks of the season, if you just looked at those three game weeks and you picked the one with the captain that you thought would score the most points, is that any different than just picking the triple captain? I mean, you know, or like the captain you'd most want a captain.
Yeah.
Isn't the player you want a triple captain? Or is there a rotation worry? Is that a factor?
Yeah. I mean, you'd feel really miserable if you, like we were just saying on Liverpool with the Huddersfield fixture in 36, you play it on Sadio Mane and he doesn't start. Then
right.
That just blows up your triple captain chip right away, assuming he doesn't come on as a sub or something like that. I mean, maybe you get on your vice captain. But I think what I'm looking for my triple captain chip in these next 3 weeks is a home fixture with an explosive player. You know, explosive meaning odds are that they will come away with attacking returns. So it's who are those teams? Is it Liverpool? Is it City? Is it maybe Arsenal have a pretty decent run in Spurs as well? So you're just looking at your best assets and who has the best home fixture. That's how I'm viewing it.
Yeah, I think home is a big factor. I think that you just never know. I captained Son away to Burnley like 7 or 8 game weeks ago, and he blanked, and that just sometimes the home team is just going to stand up and shut down, a really good attack. And so I agree with you there. I mean, okay, maybe Huddersfield is an exception, but I mean, what about Pogba as a possible triple captain for game week 37 or 38? I mean, is that just too unpalatable because of, I mean, they play Cardiff in game week 38, final game week of the season, possibly his final Man United match.
Yeah.
You could see him just going off in that match, right?
You really could. The problem is recent form and Pogba, as Mourinho has noted many times, can really only play during stretches that last as long or shorter than the World Cup is. So, is Pogba going to snap back into form before the end of the season, or is he just completely checked out? You really worry that Manchester United are bottoming out at this point, and can they bounce back? If they will, it will almost certainly be against these crummy teams, Huddersfield, Cardiff, the last 2 weeks. For me to have any confidence to play that triple captain on him, though, I think I have to see Pogba do something before I have the confidence to play the triple captainship. If he did anything today, if he does anything in the Manchester Derby, maybe that helps make the case for triple captaining him later. But I mean, do you have any confidence that Pogba's form or that Manchester United team form is going to come back in any meaningful way?
No. Well, I don't know. I mean, sometimes like when you play teams as bad as Cardiff and Huddersfield, I mean, Cardiff, I suppose, could still be playing to stay up in game week 38, in which case that could be a really tricky match and not necessarily a huge blowout. No, I think all things being equal. I mean, the thing about Pogba, too, is he's kind of penalty reliant, you know, and that's a dangerous thing. I don't really want to be in a position where I'm captaining somebody who needs someone to get fouled in the box, you know, and then score a penalty, obviously. So, I mean, okay, this brings us to game week 36 then. You know, Max says, whom to triple captain for 36, Salah or Mane? I'm going to put the question to you, Brandon. Are you planning to use triple captainship in game week 36?
Yeah, it's the plan right now to triple captain Mo Salah in 36. Now, I don't... I'm not feeling awesome. Yeah, I'm not feeling awesome about it. And, you know, it is that niggling rotation concern. That's one thing. It's also the fact that, you know, you want to believe that Salah is that explosive player and he has not shown it. He wasn't able to show it today against whoever the heck they were playing.
Against Cardiff.
Yep. Cardiff, yeah. I'm totally dialed in, guys. So it feels very hopeful. And I think we talked a little bit more theoretically about the triple captain chip, you know, like a month ago, where it's probably best served when you have a player that is just really in the midst of a rich vein of form. And like Raheem Sterling, I would much rather play a chip on a guy like Raheem that is in form like Raheem Sterling, as opposed to Mo Salah, who is crucifying reporters who are just asking him how he's feeling. He's like, I feel great. obviously my stats show that I'm the best player on the planet. I'm not defensive at all about the fact that I'm not close to the form I was last season. No problem.
Yeah.
So that's the worry. And I'll tell you, we talk about the fun factor. There is a real case to be made for the excitement of going into game week 38 with such a, I mean, it's not blockbuster in that you're really going to gain on your mini league leader by playing a triple captain chip. I don't think you're going to be able to do that in game week 38, but just to go into Super Sunday with that in your back pocket does sound like a lot of fun, doesn't it?
It does sound like fun. I'm really Liverpool triple captain thing. It's really tricky. I have not decided yet. I don't even have Mane or Salah in my team yet. So it's hard for me to think about triple captain. But I have to actually transfer one of them in first. I am leaning towards not using it. Just on the triple captain thing, as you were just saying a minute ago, it's not like a magic bullet, right? Yeah. Like if I just captain, I mean, it sounds like more because it's one is captain and one is triple captain. So it sounds like it's triple, but it's really,
it's really is. A captain.
Yeah. But a captain is a double captain, right? I mean, it's like you are doubling up on the player already. So
it's a third captainship. Plus one third captain.
Yeah, exactly. So plus 33% or whatever. So I feel like what I'm inclined to do is wait until game week 38. I'm not really sure why. I mean, I guess it's just because I feel like there's going to be a decent chance that Liverpool and Man City are still playing for the league at that point. Mm-hmm. And I would love to captain Liverpool at home to Wolves in that game week 38. Like captain Liverpool just need to win. It's a huge match. They play their best squad. You could just see them destroying Wolves, right? Who would just have nothing to play for at that point. Maybe a Europa League spot, but certainly Wolves playing for a chance at a Europa League spot versus Liverpool playing to win the league. The stakes are pretty significantly different. So that would be tempting. I think Man City at home to Leicester in game week 37 is a really tempting fixture as well. I mean, I think they could really tear up Leicester in that match. Yeah. I think that's a tempting one too. I mean, God, like just imagining Aguero going up against like Wes Morgan in 37. I mean, it's just like, it's so tempting to captain him for that one. So, but if I were to, and I feel like we're just like all over the place theoretically right now, but like if Liverpool were not playing Barcelona on Tuesday of next week, I would probably triple captain Sadio Mane. Mm-hmm. And I think that just the 10% doubt, 5%, whatever it is, the small doubt that he doesn't play or comes off the bench or something is just enough to make him less attractive to me as a triple captain option.
Yeah.
Does that track with you? Do you understand?
It does. It does. Yeah. I think what I'm going to be waiting for is Klopp to emphatically look into the camera and point at me and say, this is the lineup that I'm playing.
Just look at the camera. Says, this is the lineup of play. It says, goalkeeper, Allison.
And he looks at the reporter and he's like, do we have time for this? Great. Okay. Starting center backs, Virgil van Dijk.
Gomez.
Madsen. So I think that we can't underline it enough, though. Like, your best case scenario, imagine your triple captain player gets 10 points. That's triple. Mm-hmm. It's 30 points as opposed to you have just captained him, which is 20 points. So your net gain is 10 points.
Right. Right.
I don't want to undermine its value, but I also don't want managers out there to just be freaking out about this. I actually like the triple captainship because it feels like it's just one for fun.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, the bench boost chip is a really tricky one. The free hit is obviously the same way. With bench boost, you really feel like it's four different players, and all you need is one Gerald Deulofeu type to go off, right? I mean, the Deulofeu's return in this Watford game, or in the Huddersfield game, was the dream scenario for a triple captain, right? Mm-hmm. To get 16 points. That's just from one player. So the stakes I think are a lot higher for that one. I think for the triple captain, it's kind of fluky. And I mean, as we saw, in game week 24 or 25 or whatever it was, you just never know when like a Leroy Sané is going to get 59 minutes across two fixtures. You know, yeah. You just never know when it's, you know, even a double game. I feel like in like seasons past, you've got people have triple captain Lukaku or something, and he's just done nothing. And so, yeah, it's, I agree. It's a slightly overrated chip, I think, in some ways.
All right. Here's some curveball thinking from Danny Bean. He says, triple captain dilemma has to be Liverpool v Huddersfield for me, but genuinely torn between using it on a defender or an attacker. Trent keeps getting assists and bonus. I really think I may use it on him, but you're going to say Mane, right? So we're talking about all this agita over the starting lineup against Huddersfield. The one player or the two players you could sort of guarantee will start would be Alisson and Virgil van Dijk. If you had van Dijk, would that enter into your mind at all if you're thinking about triple captaincy in 36?
No, it wouldn't. I mean, first of all, I think they're going to score a lot of goals in that match. So he'd have to get a goal, you know. Otherwise, I'm just getting 6 points, which if I get 6 points from a triple captain, I'm going to feel like I kind of blew it, you know.
You really screwed the pooch.
Really screwed the pooch. So so no, I wouldn't. I mean, I understand the Trent Alexander-Arnold argument. I don't hate it as a pick, especially if you're like really trying to make up ground or just want to be creative or have fun or whatever. I mean, because I think he either plays or he doesn't play, right?
Yes.
And, he, you know, I don't think he – if he didn't start the Huddersfield match, I bet he just wouldn't even make the 18. So I think that's fine, which is not the – which is – you know, it's more of a concern. Like, there's no way to me Mane or Salah just don't make the 18 for Huddersfield. They're going to get minutes, you know. But do I want a triple captain player who might come on in the 63rd minute? You know, that's like – that's the concern. So, yeah, I think it's reasonable. I just don't think I think the range of points that you might get, you know, I've been thinking about this like range idea a little more recently. And, you know, the range of points for a Van Dijk is between like 2 and 9, you know, roughly. And, you know, the range of points for a Mane or a Salah is, you know, 3 to 16 or thereabouts. You know, it's just the ceiling for those players is so much higher. And so I think that's why I'd want to go with the triple captain on one of them.
Yeah, I like that logic. I think that's the right way to think about it. And it's kind of thinking that we're employing when you talk about, do I want to be doubled up on Liverpool defense versus Liverpool attack heading into the run-in? And it seems like we're both leaning toward doubling up on Liverpool attack for that reason.
Yeah, exactly. It's just more, and it's also more fun, as you said before. It's fun to, you know, you just don't know where, like, it could be huge. You know, they could score 8 goals in that match. Like, who knows? All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break. We have an honestly short lightning round this time, and then we're going to sign off.
Great. And now's the time we talk about our friends at Starting 11, the live Premier League fantasy app that you can play for free or cash prizes. Starting 11 is available now for your iPhone or Android device. Josh, any day in which there are two or more Premier League matches, pick your best 11-man squad. No budgetary restrictions at all. Starting 11 lets me make live in-game substitutions just like you're a real-life manager. Thousands of people around the world are competing for cash and for pride playing this daily Premier League fantasy app. If you have an iPhone, Josh, you rocking your iPhone today or your Android device?
I've got them both, actually. I'm doing it like kind of like a stereo thing where I've got one in one ear, one in the other.
So awesome. It's awesome. Your favorite move in the hit video game Quake, you're dual wielding. I like that very much. All right. So if you're on an iOS, cash games are live now in the UK, US, Canada, and Germany. And if you're on an Android, in your left hand, Josh, that's right. Cash games are also live in the UK. Or just pick up the app and play for free wherever you are. You can challenge people in the pub, at the stadium, wherever you happen to be. So visit starting11.io for more details, helpful video tutorials, or just hit up the Apple App Store or Google Play Store to download the app today.
Brendan, I just want to note that you can play Starting 11. You mentioned this before, but I want to hit that hammer on that nail.
Hit it, John.
You can play any day. There are two or more matches. Brendan, there are two matches on Tuesday. There are two matches on Wednesday. If you want to see what the Starting 11 thing is all about, you can pop on, try it out. Maybe you load up on, maybe you finally have Gerald Deulofeu on your team, and you know what I've been experiencing, the joy that I've had all 5 days that I've owned him. And you can do that with Starting 11 in midweek. So, Brandon, don't waste your money gambling on things you don't understand. Be smart and participate in a game that you do.
Download Starting 11 today.
Brandon, we're back. Lightning round time. We only have three questions. I'm not even going to do my normal joke about us not going long because we actually can't go long this time. Three questions. First question from Nav555. He says, who's going to win the league? Putting us on the spot here. This is before the main.
It really is.
Manchester Derby.
You know, I'm a neutral as a Fulham supporter. My team is long gone. Bye-bye.
They played better the last two.
Yeah. I mean, classic relegation narrative, right? That as soon as they have nothing left to play for, they turn it on. My heart wants Liverpool. I personally will be rooting for Liverpool to finally win the league, but I'm pretty sure Manchester City will win.
Yes, I agree. I wish I had a more controversial thing to say here, but I agree. I think it just like it feels like it's not ending well. it feels like we're watching the end of the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer era, like so quickly. It's like it's totally unfair to him. Like he's won like two matches, and everyone's talking about how he's a bad hire.
It was so stupid for that club to offer him. What was it? A 3-year contract? Like why? Why did
just
they
let
do
him
that?
Be the. Keep the pressure on for the interim tag. It's really more about putting the pressure on the players than it is on him, I think. And I doubt that he's changed his managerial style since he became full-time. So
they should have brought in a bunch of caretaker midfielders. That's what they should have done. And then that would have kept the form of the team going.
This is still – it's a night match in Old Trafford. I mean, the fans are – it's going to be like – it's going to be amazing, I imagine. I mean, also, by the way, Arsenal losing – at Palace was huge for Manchester United because they now can get a Champions League spot too. Mm-hmm. Which was looking like it was off the table, but Arsenal dropping 3 points was huge for them. So if they were to beat Man City, they would actually, I think, move. Well, it depended on what Arsenal did away to Wolves. But if Arsenal lost to Wolves and they won, I think they would actually leap them and have a chance at that spot.
Yeah, so, it's really tight. Chelsea also has 66 points. So it's right all contingent on what Chelsea does as well. And not that they're in any great form at the moment.
So it's not some like dead rubber for Man United either. It's a huge match for them too. So this idea that they're just going to roll over.
And Spurs, by the way, are on 67 points. Like they're... It could be, it could conceivably Chelsea and Manchester United in 3 and 4.
It's crazy how big six the season really is. I mean, because you got those six teams all within like 2 points of each other. Yeah. And then you have to drop 15 points down for Everton. So that's wild. So I think I agree with you there. But I don't know. I mean, I hope that Manchester United win. I'm rooting for them at midweek. I mean, I actually like Man City. I mean, they're a fun team to watch, and I respect Pep. But it's just the story of Liverpool winning finally, you know, would be – I mean, Man City won 3 times in the last 7 years or whatever. Like it would be great if Liverpool won. So, in my completely American biased opinion where I've not hated Liverpool my entire life the way a lot of people in the UK have. Next question from FPL Thunder, Jeff. He says, hi, guys. After a few tricky game weeks, I find myself on the beach. Overall rank doesn't really concern me at this stage. What outlandish ideas can you suggest for me to enjoy the last 3 game weeks on a whole new level?
We talk about this occasionally at this point in the season where it's a good time to actually set a head-to-head league with a close friend of yours or a partner or somebody who also plays the game that you're close with, and you could just do a 3-week head-to-head competition, which
I like
is
that. It's a great idea.
Or just put some, put a moderate amount of money down on like who can get the most points, this game week or that game week. I don't know. I don't want to totally just go toward, you can't have fun without putting money on it.
No, but that is a fun idea. Like find one friend, maybe it's someone else who's just out of it right now. Like maybe you're both 378,000 in the world or whatever. And you're like, you know what? We're going to start a 3-week league where we just play head to head against each other. You can even set it up within the game itself. I don't think they've removed the head to head league capability. So 3 weeks, right? So it's totally even. You'd have 3 games to do it. And then it's just best 2 out of 3. Like you said, maybe you put a little money on the line. So I think that's one way to do it. I think that, I think I was talking about formations earlier. I think that tinkering with formations could be kind of fun. Like just, I mean, I guess the obvious answer is like captain someone who people aren't going to captain, which obviously is one way to – that's the boring way to do it.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe you go with five defenders. You try that out for the first time. You know, maybe you – I don't know.
Or see how you do with – you can only pick players who have less than 5% ownership, that old game. Or
yeah.
You can only pick players who are sub $7 million in their price tag and see how far you get.
Yeah, find some player that you've always wanted to have in your team but have never had for whatever reason. Maybe get that guy with the pencil mustache from Liverpool. I don't know.
Hammerhead.
And Brandon, I've got an important final question for you. FPL Crate Digger says, is Walcott essential?
You saved the easiest question for last, Josh, and it's an emphatic yes. I mean, anyone who can score on that woeful defensive performance of Manchester United, it's got to be Walcott. Sure. It's got to be him.
Yeah, Palace, Burnley, Spurs. I don't know. They don't even have good fixtures. It's, yeah. I mean, God bless them. They're playing really well right now. But
with Richarlison in that game? He was just like writhing around the field.
It
the
sounded
entire
like he
first
heard
half.
A really funny joke, right? Because he was holding his ribs like the entire game.
Yeah, he kept yelling at the bench. Oh, my sides. And they thought he had broken a rib, but they got out there and
someone
he's actually
told
like,
him a joke.
Yeah.
The ref had whispered a very naughty limerick mm-hmm, into his ear mm-hmm. and he just kept repeating it over and over.
There once was a striker from Nantucket.
All right, that is the podcast. It's kind of a weird one, I know, but it's always these midweek ones are always strange because there's so many things left to be decided. But hopefully some of this discussion was useful to you. As I mentioned at the top of the pod, if you'd like to support the podcast, we will have a special, much more drilled down Patreon exclusive podcast that we'll be doing. I'll record that probably on Wednesday night, maybe Thursday night. Actually, no, it had to be Wednesday because my mother is coming to town on Thursday. So Wednesday night, I'll be doing a Patreon podcast after the Manchester Derby is over. And also the equally important Arsenal Wolves game, by the way. That's a huge match too.
Yeah.
So I'll be talking there. So go to patreon.com/alwayscheating for that. Brennan, can you thank our producers, please?
Yeah, Always Cheating producers, Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Street, Carl Rasmus, Lini Granley, Chris Howell, Raphael Kahn, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., Trevor Ingerson, Chris Carter, DeBig Gaffer, Danny Evans, Babas Kuhn, Jeff Husbenawile, Ben Grant, James Holland, Matt Ritter, Oyvind Anderson, and Kajitan. Thanks to all of you for producing the show.
And if you can give us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, really anywhere. I don't think you can review people on SoundCloud, but anywhere you can review a podcast, if you could just take 20 seconds to do that, or even just give us a 5-star rating, that helps us to find more people and feel like this whole endeavor is not just a waste of our lives. Brandon, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters, H-A-I-L Cheaters. Instagram, we're also Hail Cheaters. Facebook, it's facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And if they've missed all of this, Brandon, zoned out, where can they find more?
Go to our website, alwayscheating.com, where we also have an Always Cheating store. Do you hate the fact that you only think about Always Cheating when you're listening to the podcast? How about an Always Cheating coffee cup? So every morning when you're sipping your coffee or afternoon when you've got your afternoon tea going, you can think about me and Josh and wonder what we're doing with our free time. Not that we have any, but yeah, head to alwayscheating.com for more info on us and the store and all that jazz.
That's right. That's the end of the podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, and we'll be probably like sorting through the wreckage of Game Week 36. You know, it'll be a God knows what we're going to be talking about after that one. Yeah. For Brandon Kelly, I'm Josh Landon, signing off.
And I'll sign off for our foreign correspondent, Poku, wherever you are, my friend.
Rest easy, sweet Poku.
Hail Cheaters.